Pushkin.
Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do. That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill-building courses for you to choose from because the steps you choose to take today will help you love what you do in the future. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Every day around the world, more than 1,000 weather balloons are launched into the sky. The balloons float high up into the atmosphere, sending back information, you know, temperature, wind speed, air pressure, etc. And then, a couple hours later, the balloons pop. This is basically the way weather balloons have worked for decades. And the information the balloons send back is really useful for weather forecasts. But the information the balloons send back is also pretty limited. Because the balloons only stay in the sky for a couple hours, they don't fly very far. If we could figure out how to make balloons stay up for longer, they could blow in the wind and travel thousands of miles. They could travel across continents and across oceans and send us back a lot more data and give us a much clearer picture of what weather is coming our way. I'm Jacob Goldstein, and this is What's Your Problem, the show where I talk to people who are trying to make technological progress. My guest today is Kai Marshland. He's the co-founder and chief product officer of Windborne Systems. Kai's problem is this. Can you build weather balloons that stay in the air for weeks or months instead of hours? And can you pair the data from those balloons with AI to make weather forecasts that are way better than anything we have today? Kai got interested in balloons back in 2015. He was a freshman at Stanford, and he joined the Student Space Initiative, which sounds kind of fancy, but in fact was basically a bunch of college kids trying to build their own weather balloons.
The first half dozen flights of our balloons were complete and total failures.
When do things start working?
That would be back in June of 2016. This is the end of my freshman year, and I think our longest flight that year had been 14 minutes. So shorter than a normal weather balloon.
By a lot.
By a lot. And also, the person who had started this project, who then became my co-founder, had just graduated and was about to leave what we thought never to be seen again. School has ended. We can't even get into the building because our key cards have stopped working. So we have to tailgate someone in to get our balloon launch equipment out, go out to the middle of nowhere in the Central Valley of California. And if this launch didn't succeed, Windborne would not exist.
Okay. So I can guess what happened next based on that fact, but tell me what happened.
Yeah. So it got to be about 4 a.m. And we're out in the middle of this park, really cold, and the sprinklers turn on. They start slowly swiveling around towards our delicate electronics. And so I have to hurl myself onto the sprinklers, getting soaked, just to save our electronics.
It's like the nerd version of throwing yourself on a grenade.
Exactly. I really felt like I was in an action movie sequence.
Yeah, good.
But that sacrifice really paid off because with that flight, we managed to set the world record for weather balloon endurance.
How long did it stay up?
It stayed up for 76 hours.
Wow. And your previous best was 14 minutes?
Exactly.
So you're in college. How do you build weather balloons that are better than whatever the federal government, NOAA, is launching, or, you know, state-of-the-art weather balloon people?
So the first big thing is that some new consumer electronics have come out. In particular, things like microcontrollers and lightweight, low-power satellite communications. And we realized that we can use these innovations to make a balloon smarter and to control its altitude.
What's a microcontroller?
A microcontroller is a super small computer that you can put in any device to give it a brain.
And they're cheap.
They're dirt cheap. Anytime you hear the word Internet of Things, that means microcontrollers.
And nobody else was doing this at the time? Like, all the big, you know, well-funded weather agencies weren't sticking microcontrollers on their weather balloons?
Well, with these big agencies, they are really incentivized to keep things stable. Because weather is this really important thing that billions of people depend on. And so they're not going to go and say, hey, what crazy experiments can we run?
Their incentive is just like, don't screw it up.
Exactly.
Do it the way we did it yesterday. Don't screw it up and you won't get fired.
Exactly.
And so specifically, what was it that you were doing that no one had done before?
Yeah. So it's a very simple concept that is really hard to make work in practice. The way we control our altitude is when it gets too high up, we vent some of our gas, so it has less lift. When we fall down too far, we drop some ballast, so it stops falling. But the hard part about this is it has to function at negative 70 degrees Celsius. That's the temperature of dry ice. You have to have a lot of onboard software. That's where the microcontrollers come in to do things like understand, is this just turbulence that you're hitting, or is it actually a real change in lift that we need to drop ballast or vent gas to account for? And in fact, we stayed up 24/7 every single time it talked to us. Every 5 minutes, we had it play an air horn sound because we were, of course, falling asleep in the middle of the night to see what it was doing.
So, okay, so you set the record, you stay up for what, 3 days watching it. How far did it go?
It flew all the way across the country and landed out in the Atlantic Ocean. But the real reason why we decided to form a company around this was because we realized the impact this could have. We got into this from the engineering side. Balloons are fun. But we realized, wait a second, 85% of the Earth's atmosphere is invisible to humanity. Weather is this crazy, unpredictable thing, and we can solve that. And weather is so much more than just, do you bring an umbrella to work tomorrow? It is the single most immediately destructive aspect of climate change. And improving the weather forecast, it of course helps with adapting to climate change, things like predicting where a hurricane will make landfall. But it can also help with preventing climate change in the first place. If you have a better weather forecast, you can better route ships and planes to save a huge amount of fuel. You can accelerate the transition to renewables because you know when the wind will be blowing or the sun will be shining. And we looked at this and said, no one else has our balloon technology. If we don't do this, no one will. And if we walk away from this opportunity, we can't live with ourselves.
I mean, I buy that the stakes are high. I buy that it could be very helpful. But, like, why wouldn't anybody else do it?
Yeah. A lot of people are trying to improve the weather forecast. But what's unique about Windborne is the combination of our balloon technology with our AI weather forecasts, because really those are the two levers to pull to increase the accuracy of a weather forecast.
You mentioned that 85% of the world lacks good weather data, which was surprising to me the first time I heard it. But I would think, like, can't satellites do it? That's kind of, I guess, my naive-ish thought. It's like, I know there's a lot of satellites looking down at the Earth all the time.
I'm actually a big fan of the space industry. I used to work at SpaceX. But the problem is the laws of physics fundamentally limit what satellites can measure. Take, for example, pressure. It turns out pressure is extremely important for predicting the weather because it determines where the winds are blowing, how the weather systems are moving. But a satellite fundamentally cannot measure pressure from space because it's not in the atmosphere. It can't see what's going on.
So you start the company, you're good at making weather balloons that go up and stay up for a long time and that you can steer. I also read that you launched thinking that you could collect data for a tenth the cost of existing alternatives, which sounds compelling, but as I understand, was not compelling enough. Is that right?
It is. We're now at 150 times more data per dollar than alternatives.
Okay. Was there some reason one-tenth the cost was not cheap enough?
Yeah. When we started the company, we thought it would be cheap enough, but it turns out when you really look at the scale of weather data collection you need to really understand the atmosphere, you want 10,000 balloons aloft concurrently. That's a balloon every 60 miles in the atmosphere. And in order to get to that level of scale, it's the difference between your company spending $100 million a year and spending $1 billion a year. And one was a lot more in reach.
How do you drive down the cost to 1/150th the cost? I mean, I'm sure it's many incremental, you know, efficiency gains, but like, what's an example of one?
Yeah, well, one of the big pieces is improving the software that flies on it so that the balloon can fly for longer. I talked about in the student group that first flight lasting 76 hours. Now our longest flight can fly for over 40 days.
Wow.
And the longer you fly, well, the hardware cost stays the same. So
right.
That means you're collecting a lot more data.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, make the balloon stay up for longer is the fundamental way that you make it cheaper.
Exactly.
And how do you make it fly longer?
Yeah, well, one of the big things is improving the software to better decide when do you vent gas, when do you drop ballast. Or really, one of the other big things is just making everything smaller and lighter. Because the smaller it is, the lighter it is, the less chance of a leak, the less ballast you have to use, and things have just shrunk down so far. It really surprises me sometimes when I'm like, wait, that tiny thing the size of a dime replaces the thing that was the size of a dinner plate before?
Yeah, that's amazing. So, okay, so let's talk about where you are today. Let's talk about sort of how it works. How big are the balloons?
So the balloon is two pieces. There's the envelope. That's the bag that
balloon
holds all the gas.
Of
the
balloon?
Balloon part
yeah.
of the balloon.
yeah.
And then there's the main unit, which is the electronics and the ballast.
The stuff.
Exactly.
The balloon and the stuff.
Yeah.
How big is the balloon part of
yeah,
the balloon?
The balloon part of the balloon is 5.5 meters tall. So that's 2.5, 3 times the height of a person, depending on how tall you are.
Yeah. So tall.
Yeah.
It's big,
tall.
It's a big balloon. And how big is the stuff? How big are the sensors and the part that's not the balloon?
Yeah. That stuff is, I guess this is a audio thing. So I would say about this big.
Is that the size of a basketball?
Yeah, it's roughly the size of a basketball. It weighs just over 4 pounds, so about the weight of a large duck. And is kind of long and skinny. It kind of looks like a fish.
Oh, cool.
Like, think of it as a trout attached to a giant bag.
How many of your balloons are in the sky right now, about?
Yeah, there are a few dozen aloft right now.
Okay.
We launch around 100 a month and are quickly ramping that up.
So where do you launch your balloons from?
We launch them every day from three continents, South Korea, Palo Alto, New York, and Cabo Verde.
Cabo Verde is just off the west coast of Africa, is that right?
You got it. One of the reasons why we have a launch site in Cabo Verde right now, that's right where a lot of hurricanes are forming. And so the fact that we're collecting data around there is going to be really impactful for better predicting the path of these hurricanes.
Huh. So they start there and then they essentially travel across the Atlantic and into the Americas. And if you can understand what's going on there, ideally you can sort of understand the hurricane, where it's going to go in the dream scenario, even just as it's becoming a tropical storm.
Exactly. Yeah. NOAA did an analysis of the impact our data had on the 2022 hurricane season. And it made the forecasts for Hurricane Fiona about 20% better.
Now it's time for a few ads. After the ads, Kai and I will talk about AI, of course. We'll also talk about Windborne's business, what they're selling. And we'll talk about the company's quest to build balloons that can stay in the air for months at a time and make multiple trips around the world. You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life. What are you doing now to help you get there? There are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP. That dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events. So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend. Okay, 10 seconds. How many things can you name that are always growing? The universe, easy one. My kids, so far. To-do lists. This month, my sugar snap peas. I know that's not always. I know I'm out of time, but I'm going to give you one more. Businesses on Shopify. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. There are key moments in every endeavor. I ask pretty much everybody I interview on this show about their key moments, their breakthroughs, their failures, their turnarounds, and Shopify can be there for you at all of your key moments. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/problem. Go to shopify.com/problem now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/problem. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. What is your business right now? Like, what are you selling and who are you selling it to?
Right now, our business has two pieces to it. We are selling the observations of the atmosphere we collect to the government right now so that those governments can use this data to improve your weather forecast. And Just a couple weeks ago, we announced our AI-based weather model, which is the world's most accurate global weather model, bar none.
I feel like you need a little TM when you say the world's most accurate global weather model, bar none.
We really TM. Do. We really do.
So let's talk about that. Is that claim validated? I mean, that's, I know there was news about that just this year, and congratulations, but also, how do I know that's true, respectfully?
Yeah, I love that question, because anytime a weather company makes a claim, you should look at it closely. Yeah. So first off, we've published our results on our website, and so you can dig into some of the raw numbers there. Second, we're in the process of submitting to WeatherBench, which is these benchmarks run by okay. Google, which were the previous holders of this record. So we're actively talking with them right now about submitting our results, getting them validated and live up there. It's just a process that takes a little while.
So let's talk about the model you built. So, I mean, generally, when I talk to people who are working on AI, they talk a lot about data, right? And it seems like to some significant degree, the models are kind of commoditized, not quite, but like models are pretty similar, it seems, in many settings, at least one to the other. And the differentiator often ends up being the data. Is that the case in this instance? I mean, do you think you're the best, if you're the best, because you have all this data from all your balloons?
I think that you're spot on. Data is the real moat here, because what really sets us apart is the ability to have all of this data that no one else has, and use that both for training the model, but then also for running the model in real time. Data isn't just about training. It's about essentially giving your model the prompt of what's going to happen next. And you need new data every single day for that.
Just one thing to clarify. So if you're selling the data to governments, are they not sharing it widely? Like they're paying for the data, but they're not, but not everybody can get at the data? Is that why it's a moat for you?
Yeah. So what they're using the data we sell them for is putting it into conventional physics-based weather models that they uh-huh. then release. So they can't redistribute the data itself, uh-huh. but the general public can benefit from its use in these weather models.
And so just to distinguish, and this is a distinction that's not particular to your company, but you mentioned the sort of traditional physics-based weather models. I mean, I think it's worth spending just a moment here to distinguish, right? Like between the classic weather model, you know, the sort of pre-AI weather model and the AI weather model. Like, what's the basic difference between those two?
Yeah, so a conventional physics-based weather model, it takes the initial state of the atmosphere and then runs a bunch of fluid dynamics on it to simulate what's going to happen to all of these different fluids.
Right. There's a sort of kind of classic, sort of feels like kind of 19th century deterministic, give me the initial conditions and I'll tell you what's going to happen in the future. It's that, right? It's sort of rules-based.
Exactly. Yeah. That is nice because you can see the exact physics that is being used, but you need compute clusters that cost hundreds of millions of dollars in order to run this because the atmosphere is so big. Okay. And by contrast, a AI-based weather model can run on just a gaming laptop.
Uh-huh.
And what it does, by contrast, is effectively picking out statistics.
I mean, it's machine learning, I presume. It's pattern matching?
Exactly. It's our model is a transformer-based architecture, the same thing that powers ChatGPT.
Are AI models in general better at this point than the physics-based traditional models?
Depends on the use case, but if you're talking about hurricanes, yeah, we ran a case study on Hurricane Ian, and our model would have predicted landfall by 200 kilometers closer.
I mean, that's another one where, like, I'm intrigued by what you said, but I'm very eager for, I'm not eager for this hurricane season to come, but, like, it will resonate more with me when you do that prospectively, right?
Of course.
Will you this year be predicting where hurricanes are going to make landfall?
We will be predicting that. For public safety reasons, we aren't going to be...
But you won't tell me.
Yeah.
You will, but you won't tell me.
We will tell the NOAA Hurricanes Center.
Okay.
But
fair.
You, of course, don't want to say, hey, don't listen to NOAA about these evacuation orders.
No. Fair. That is very responsible. So basically, you're selling data. You are likely soon to be selling forecasts. That's sort of the business. On the technical side, what is the frontier? What are you trying to figure out that you haven't figured out yet?
Yeah. Well, one of the big areas for innovation is on the AI modeling side. We were kind of surprised that our models did as well as they did because there are a lot of, quite frankly, obvious things that we haven't done. Things like just increasing the amount of compute we're using to train these models. We use something like a 15th as much as Google did. What happens when you train it for longer?
I mean, I'll say on the AI side, it's not obvious that it's optimal for you to be doing the AI as well, right? There's a universe where you are optimizing the balloons and the data, and then someone else like Google, who has all the computers and all the AI brains it knows what to do with, doing the AI side of it, right?
Yes and no. I think that where that falls apart is coupling our data with the models much more closely, in that there's so much to be done in terms of figuring out how to better take advantage of our data in particular, and also things like saying, based on this weather model, where should we be flying our balloons to improve the forecast? And we're already using our own AI weather forecasts to do that flight plan optimization to figure out where our balloons are going to fly. So it's really this beneficial effect where the better our weather forecast, the better we can fly our balloons, and we can then target our balloons to fly to the places that will most improve the weather forecast.
That's a good feedback loop.
There's also a lot to do on the balloon side of things. I wish I could tell you about our project that will increase flight time by another factor of 10.
Another factor of 10?
Yeah.
So what are you at now? What's the median flight time?
Medium flight time is 7 to 10 days, depending on how we're targeting it.
And so you think you're going to get to 90 days?
Yep, we do.
Around the world in 80 days?
Yeah.
You say you wish you can tell me, you feel like you're about to do it?
Yeah.
Tell me without telling me what you can't tell me.
Okay, I'll do my best. So we have had some very successful flight tests where we have demonstrated the ability to fly without using any finite resources.
So what is the key finite resource, the lift gas? What is it, helium or hydrogen? What do you use to keep the balloons up?
Our balloons are compatible with both helium and hydrogen, which we use is dependent on the country.
When you say flying without any finite resource, that's what I think of.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that and ballast.
Right. So you want to... should I guess?
Yeah.
I mean, there's heat, there's the sun.
I'll leave it there and just say,
if you get that, could you fly forever? Is that the dream?
Someday.
Yeah.
We're definitely excited.
I guess 90 days
it.
For a weather balloon is sort of forever, right?
It really is. And so, we've had some very successful flight tests.
What's the longest flight you've had to this point?
40 days.
40 days. Okay. Long.
Yeah, long. And that was without using this technology.
And was that a fluke?
It was definitely on the side of the bell curve, but we've had multiple month-long flights.
Why do your balloons usually, fall? Crash sounds a little extreme. Crash? Fall?
Yeah. It's that they run out of ballast and lifting gas. And so these finite resources have been used up. You don't have any more ballast to drop. you don't have any more gassed event, and so you can no longer control your altitude.
What happens when it falls, crashes, comes down?
So by the time it falls, it has used up all of the ballast. So instead of weighing 4 pounds, it weighs about 200 grams.
200 grams is what, half a pound-ish?
Yes. I looked it up, 0.44 pounds.
Okay. By the way, when you're getting rid of ballast, is that just like sand or something? You're just like sprinkling sand out?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
dust
so it comes
in the wind.
Down, so it's half a pound. So it wouldn't hurt if it hit me on the head? Is that part of the reason half a pound is important? Would it hurt if it hit me on the head? Has it hit anybody on the head?
It's never hit anybody. Okay. We do landing simulations and control where it lands to direct it towards unpopulated areas.
Okay.
But remember, it also has this envelope attached to it, which acts like a parachute. So it actually falls very slowly. It's very light and not an issue.
And then what happens? Then you have this big deflated balloon sitting on the ground or floating in the ocean. And is it just, what happens to it?
Yeah. So I love that question because it's a chance to talk about how our balloons can reduce the amount of waste going out into the world compared to the 500,000 that are launched every year, of which only a fifth are recovered.
Just answer directly.
Okay.
I appreciate that you want to contextualize
it.
But
okay.
Like, first, let's talk about what happens with your balloons, and then feel free to provide the bigger context.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our balloons are out in the world, and we recover as many of them as we can. In the long term, we're aiming to recover essentially all of them because we'll direct them to specific landing sites.
I mean, the ocean has got to be tough. Right, I presume when they fall in the ocean, for the most part, you don't recover them. Is that right?
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why improving endurance is so exciting, because if you circumnavigate multiple times, well, on the last leg, you bring it down in a field, have somebody drive around and collect all of them. There are about 500,000 weather balloons launched each year, and only a fifth of those are recovered. So when each balloon flies for only 2 hours, well, you have to launch a lot more balloons to collect the same amount of data.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We really see this as an opportunity to reduce the amount of stuff that's going out there in the first place.
Right. So there will actually be fewer balloons going into the world if you succeed.
Exactly.
So you're at this point where you've learned a lot. You sort of, it feels like you're kind of on the precipice of a lot more. And I want to talk about sort of two futures, right? One is a future where your company doesn't succeed for any number of reasons with which you're surely more familiar than I. And then the other is if you do succeed, right? So in the sort of sad version where you don't succeed, what are some reasons it might not work out?
Yeah, I think that probably the biggest reason is that scaling up hardware is hard. We need to increase manufacturing by a factor of 100 effectively.
And so it's scaling up that final assembly by a factor of 100 is complicated and hard and just kind of classic hard building a business, gets more capital intensive.
Exactly.
You
got to
spend the money before you can get the money.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a easy to imagine sad outcome. Let's talk about the happy outcome. Like, it works, you scale up, your balloons stay up for months at a time. What's the world look like? What are you doing in that scenario?
We want everybody to see twice as far into the future when it comes to weather. Uh-huh. So making the 10-day forecast as accurate as the current 5-day forecast, making the 20-day forecast as accurate as the 10-day forecast. So we want people to see twice as far into the future. We want to pinpoint where hurricanes are going to make landfall a week in advance. And we want day-to-day weather that businesses rely on to be really accurate. Things like never having to cancel a flight last minute because a bomb cyclone popped up. Saving fuel with all of your shipping because you know where there will be headwinds. We want to accelerate the transition to renewables, and we want weather to go from this crazy, unpredictable source of uncertainty to something that humans just know about.
We'll be back in a minute with the lightning round. You probably think it's too soon to join AARP, right? Well, let's take a minute to talk about it. Where do you see yourself in 15 years? More specifically, your career, your health, your social life. What are you doing now to help you get there? There are tons of ways for you to start preparing today for your future with AARP. That dream job you've dreamt about? Sign up for AARP reskilling courses to help make it a reality. How about that active lifestyle you've only spoken about from the couch? AARP has health tips and wellness tools to keep you moving for years to come. But none of these experiences are without making friends along the way. Connect with your community through AARP volunteer events. So it's safe to say it's never too soon to join AARP. They're here to help your money, health, and happiness live as long as you do. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/wisefriend. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry, Betterment is here to help. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. The automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal, rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line, and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again. Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Okay, let's do the lightning round. Would you rather have it be too hot or too cold?
Too cold, any day.
Okay, the next one is multiple choice. What is your favorite movie prominently featuring balloons? Wizard of Oz, Around the World in 80 Days, Up, The Red Balloon, or none of the above?
It's got to be Up. Brilliant movie.
Blimps, overrated or underrated?
Ooh, so here I've got to make a distinction between blimps and zeppelins because I actually used to work at a Zeppelin company.
Is that the Larry Page Zeppelin company?
It sure is.
Perhaps the only Zeppelin company.
Yeah.
And so is the distinction that a Zeppelin has a rigid frame?
Got it in one.
Okay, so how about this? Let me reformulate it to see if I get it this time. Airships, overrated or underrated?
Underrated. I think
Why?
That
Why?
Zeppelins are so cool. I don't have a great mission-driven answer here other than, you know, I think it's amazing. I read too many books growing up which prominently featured airships.
Isn't the Larry Page Airship Company dream some kind of cargo, like the idea that for like really heavy things, giant airships would be an efficient way to move cargo?
Full disclosure, it's been a long time since I worked there, so I can't speak to that company in particular. But yeah, faster deliveries than a ship, more efficient deliveries than a plane.
Aha, it's like a niche, an unfilled
exactly.
niche. What's something besides the weather that AI will be really good at predicting?
Oh, great question. Let's see. Don't have a good answer off the top of my head. I think that it will be really interesting for economics in terms of taking short-term data, various real-time indicators, and making predictions about what the final readings are going to be.
I'm sure a lot of very smart people are working on that, and they may, in fact, already have good models, and they're not telling us.
I think that's likely.
Is there anything else you want to say?
I think that covers it. Yeah, great to be on the show.
Thanks for your time. It was lovely to talk with you. Good luck.
Thanks. And if you ever are in Palo Alto, you're welcome to come see a balloon launch.
Great. So do you still, where do you launch from, that Air Force base or just
from our parking
yard?
Lot.
Are they easy? Yeah, from the parking lot. That's cool.
Yeah.
How much space do you need to launch a weather balloon?
Not that much, about 50 by 50 feet. It's really just a matter of making sure there's nothing that the balloon will blow into right after releasing it.
Uh-huh. Seems like it'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
I like a balloon. Kai Marshland is the co-founder and chief product officer of Windborne Systems. Today's show was produced by Gabriel Hunter Chang and edited by Lydia Jean Cott. It was engineered by Sarah Brugier. You can email us at problem@pushkin.fm. I'm Jacob Goldstein, and we'll be back next week with another episode of What's Your Problem? How do you create present and future value? As a leading provider of specialized finance, operations, and technology advisory services for Fortune 500 companies, emerging growth market leaders, and private equity sponsors, Cross Country Consulting solves today's most pressing challenges and creates present and future enterprise value. With tailored integrated solutions for accounting, risk, technology-enabled transformation, and transaction solutions, Cross Country works as a strategic partner and collaborative part of your team. The future-ready business, insight and within reach. Go to crosscountry-consulting.com to learn more.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.